All right, well, if you go ahead and turn to John 1, 1. We'll start there. All right, John 1, 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God," and we've talked about that before, that's Jesus. Verse 3, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, Jesus, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." So this light he's talking about is Jesus. And he starts off saying in verse 4 that in him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And then that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. Then he goes on to talk about John and says that he was to bear witness to that light. He wasn't the light, but he was to bear witness to that light. And so we start off seeing Jesus is the light. We know that he is the truth. He's the light. He's the one that we look to. And John came to bear witness to the fact that he was the light. Now let's turn to Matthew 5:13. So Matthew 5:13, this is Jesus now speaking, and he says this. So you've seen that we saw Jesus is the light, but now this Jesus says this: "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So Jesus says that we are the light of the world. See, Jesus isn't here anymore. He's the ultimate light. But it's like the moon. I mean, the moon doesn't generate any light in itself, but the sun reflects off the moon, and we see the moon at night. We see that reflection. Well, in and of ourselves, we don't really generate much, but Jesus is a light. He's in us. So we are to let that light shine in the world, shine to other people. And that's what I want to focus on today. You know, last week we talked about the church, the local church, and what we do when we come together, and just the function of us getting together, and just the function of us, that we all have gifts, that we all have things that God has placed in each of us, both to affect people that are already in the church, but then to affect people that are outside the church, and to do something in this life to bring glory to God. You know, Jesus said to let our light shine before men. He didn't say to let our light, in men everywhere, not just men in the church. We're not supposed to be, our life is not supposed to be just geared all about this, the church. People, what we talked about last week, that the church is the gathering together of believers to get encouraged and to go out and really do the work of the ministry. The church in itself is not the ministry. We can minister to others, which ministry just means to serve one another in some way. That's part of it, but that is not the end in itself. You know, I've been there before where the church can become the center of everything. The church is the center because, I mean, in one sense, because we're all believers and we come together to get built up to do what God has called us to do. It serves a function. It keeps us built up. All the things we talked about last week to remind ourselves of the hope we have in Jesus. But the organization of the church, meeting together here, if we have so many meetings that our life is about getting to church so that we can get to this meeting or that meeting, it can become warped to where we're coming to church, to come to church, and that instead of coming to church to get built up, to go out and live our life, now all of a sudden church is our life. We don't have a life outside the church, and I've seen this before, that, you know, we don't have time to let our light shine before men. You know, each of us is called to do something in this life, and it's not all within the church. That's just part of it. We're to go out of here when we come and get built up here and do gather together. We're to go out then and live our life before men, to let our life light shine before men. We're all called to do something in life. We all have a vocation. There's people that are called to the medical profession, to the legal profession, that are home builders, you know, that are called to stay at home and nurture and raise children so that they'll be stable and secure. There's people that are called to be teachers. There's people that are called to be engineers. We all have something that where our whole life is geared towards outside of this function of the church. So when we come together, we get built up to go out and live life and to then to let our light shine before men. You know, sometimes I think the church has been made into the place that we bring people to talk about spiritual things. Like, let's say we had a friend that we really want to introduce to God, or, you know, we're trying to basically evangelize people, which is part. We definitely want to tell people about Jesus because that's somehow we found out about Jesus and what he's really done for us, and we don't want to just hoard that. We want to tell people about Jesus, but the way we do it is individual. It's not some, you know, plot or something that people, okay, let's see how many people we can get in. No, it's something. It's like anything. If we really believe in a product, we don't have to. Nobody has to twist our arm to tell other people about it. It'll just probably come up. And how does it come up? Do we plot it to come up? Do we say, okay, let's see if I can really, you know, get this product in there and really see what kind of scheme I can have to get this person to start using this product. No, probably if we're really sold on something, really believe in it, genuinely, it's helping us. Man, I had this thing in my life, and this product has really addressed that situation. It will probably just come out of us when we're talking to people that we know, that we have a relationship with already, and it would come up, boy, you know, somehow it'll probably come up in the situation. You know, you've noticed with children, you don't really have to squeeze them much when they get a video game system to tell their friends about it. It's just something they're excited about, and they go around and telling about it. And with a new toy, you have to probably do the opposite with a child, is to tell them, you know, keep it down. Don't go and tell everybody in the school when you get something new or whatever. Well, it's the same thing with us when we get something. Something that's really helping us or whatever, nobody has to tell us not to share that. We're adults now. We can share it at appropriate times. But it's not something that we have to orchestrate. Well, evangelism and sharing Jesus, I think, has just been misconstrued in a lot of ways. And I started out just a minute ago saying that a lot of people associate just the church with that function. So it goes to this far in some places where if you want to introduce somebody to Jesus, you just bring him to church and let the minister do it, and let everything is geared just to introduce those people to church. Well, I believe, like we showed last week, that the church is the gathering together of people that already believe God. It's not to say that somebody can't come in and then be directed to God. Of course they could. But that I don't believe that should be our focus, because we're gathering together as people that already believe God, and there's a function for gathering together like we talked about last week. We don't have to gear it so that if somebody comes in, we're trying to just get them to Jesus, because that we're gathering together for a different purpose. If they come in, fine. I don't believe it's the function of a church to go marketing everything to the world, to try to get everybody to be real cool so that everybody will come to our church and then know Jesus. The way they know Jesus is through what Jesus said here, is letting our light shine. When we go out and just live our lives as normal people in everyday life, in our job that we're called to, in our life as we're doing, getting together with people, having relationships. And because Jesus has helped us and our life has been changed by him and that we're growing and getting to know him, that it just comes out at different times to other people. And we're led by the Holy Spirit. If we need to share something with somebody or bring something up, we can be unconsciously led. We can say something to somebody that we don't even know that we're being used of God, but it's ministering or helping somebody in their life, and they're not a Christian. That's the way people come to know Jesus. It's just through people talking about something that's affected their life, just like that's how people come to know a certain auto body shop or come to know a certain mechanic or come to know a certain doctor. It's because people have had good experience with that person or through that service, and it affected their life. And through the relationships that they have, somebody asks them a question maybe about, well, where do you go for that? And they tell them. That's all evangelizing is. It's not this thing that we have to go. I mean, I'm not saying anything's wrong with the way certain people do evangelizing. If that's what they feel is their way of doing it, where they go down the street and grab hold of people or pass out tracts, there's nothing wrong with that. But by and large, the way most people come to know Jesus is just through one-on-one relationships. People they trust already. People they trust, telling them something at coming up over coffee or coming up at a play date or whatever about Jesus and about what he's done. And or, you know, somewhere just normal relationships where people are just being themselves. They're not reading a book. They're not coming. They're not doing what somebody else told them to do. They're just being themselves in normal life, letting their light shine in their unique way. And then we're all doing that. When we're all doing that, people will see the light in us and direct people to God. And then when people come to know God, then they're going to want to gather around other people that know God. And they come to church. This whole thing is to help people that know God, not help. Like we said, we all bring something. And we're all encouraged. Why do we have a children's gathering together of children? So that the kids can come together with other kids that have similar beliefs and they can be encouraged at their level of knowing God. They can come and be encouraged on how to live for God at a young age. You know, and different if you want to call them programs that we may have in a church are just to meet the needs of people that are already believers, already coming in, and it meets a need, you know, for single people. If there's they want to gather around people that have similar beliefs that are single, and so on and so forth. But evangelizing or letting our light shine doesn't need to. It's not something that we need to twist our personality into somebody else's form. If we're not really outspoken and bold in people's face, God is not expecting us to be that way all of a sudden, to be somebody we're not because somebody else's method is that, nor we just be ourselves. There's all kinds of ways just to let, as Jesus said, just to let our light shine, just to do what we're called to do, and just being a person after God, I believe people see that anyway, just like we said, the moon is a reflection of the sun. When we're really just following God and he's changing our life is going to be changed and people are going to see that. And we can direct them to the reason our life is being changed. Let's go ahead and turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2:12. Now we read here, several Sundays ago, we were talking about love, and at the beginning of 2, they're saying, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. This isn't, chapter 2, verse 3. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And then it goes on in verse 5 and on to talk about Jesus and that Jesus did that same thing, that he humbled himself and came and gave his life for us. And so Paul is saying here to be use Jesus as an example, to be like him and to live that way. And so he's talking about Jesus. And we can pick up in verse 9. He says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, Jesus, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father." You know, so he said, let's look at Jesus as an example. So here's where I want to pick up in verse 12. He says, "Therefore, because of what you've seen Jesus do and because he's an example, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You know, walk before God your own way, the way he has for you. Verse 13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." So he's saying, and he goes on to talk about some other things, but he's basically saying in this chapter and in the previous chapter that, look, this is how you should act. We look at Jesus as our example, and this is how you should act. And in verse 14 and 15, then he's saying, do these things that you may shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He said that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So live after God in the midst of a generation that doesn't necessarily believe on God. Just do what you're called to do in the midst of people that don't necessarily believe God. And you will shine by doing that as lights in this world. Not shoving it down people's throats. Not telling them they have to do a bunch of stuff and they're not holy, or they're not righteous, or they're not right, or they're not good people if they're not doing things. That doesn't do a lot of good in most cases. People do not want to hear, none of us really want to hear what somebody has to say if we don't know them. I'm not saying we shy away from what the Word of God says. What I'm saying is that it doesn't matter what we know. It doesn't matter what the other person needs. It only matters what they'll listen to from us. So if we're sitting there, and we've all seen this, if people are preaching at people, telling them what they should do, and, you know, going around their office and telling them, you know, all the stuff they should do and don't, and judging them and whatever, tell me, how much effect do those people have on their coworkers? If anything, they're driving them away from God. They say, if you're a Christian, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You are weird. You're flaky. You're always telling me what to do. You're always preaching at me. Nobody wants to hear that. And that doesn't do any good. That doesn't do any good to an end. Jesus just said to go and let our light shine, just to be people and to relate to people as people, not to relate to people as God. We're not God. We're children of God. And just to not judge people, to enjoy their presence, just to enjoy relationships. And let God do the work of directing these people to him. And historically, that's the way the gospel spread. That's the way people came to know Jesus. It wasn't through big, thousands of people necessarily coming at once. It was through people just sharing, getting to know other people, and just living their lives. And that's how people, one by one, come into the family of God. Exponentially... God's kingdom can grow then, because you don't have, it's all not dependent on one person, it's depending on a web of people, just talking with the people that they know and just being real in front of them. And then all over the earth, that can spread. Let's turn to one more scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Let's go to verse 14, actually. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh," or according to the outward appearance. "Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Now, before we go on there, in verse 18, 19, so he's saying this: "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ." We have been reconciled through Christ. We've been reconciled to God. There's nothing between us and God because of what Jesus did. And then he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And then he explains, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not just us who have believed, but through Jesus, he was giving a sacrifice for the whole world. And a whole world has been reconciled to God, but they still have to receive it. So he goes on, "not imputing their trespasses to them." See, he's not imputing the trespasses to people. He's already, Jesus, God has paid the price for everybody. He said, it's all been paid. I'm not imputing anything to you. When does it get imputed? If they don't take it. If they leave this earth without taking what has already been paid. Now, your debt was paid, but you didn't pick up the ticket. Now when you show up, you know, it's like if you have a ticket waiting for you across country, or a ticket to Hawaii, it's been paid. You have a chance to go pick up that ticket and claim your ticket to Hawaii, and you don't have to pay. But if you go to the ticket counter and don't go get your ticket, first of all, and you say, "I want a ticket to Hawaii," they're going to take your money and you're going to pay for another one. Well, Jesus has already paid the price for everybody in the face of the earth. They don't necessarily know it. If they don't receive it, if they don't say, "I want that," then they don't get the benefits of it. So what does he say? He says, verse 19, that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That is, he's given us the commission to go tell people that has in fact happened, that Jesus has paid the price for everybody. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. And he says then in verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." I mean, that's so clear. He's just saying, look, Jesus has paid the price for everybody, but Jesus isn't on the earth anymore telling people. So he's given that responsibility to us, the church, starting with his disciples. They saw him. They believed on him. They told other people, and it's gone down through the ages to where here we're sitting, and he's called us ambassadors, that we speak for Jesus to tell other people about him, to shine as lights, like he said, in the world, in the midst of this generation, to shine as reflecting the glory of God, to reflect it, say, look, there's something in us. There's something that has been changed. Look, it's because Jesus has reconciled us. It's because Jesus has already paid the price for you. And that's our job. I mean, that's our task. He said that we are ambassadors, as if we're imploring on Christ's sake, be reconciled to God. Your ticket's paid. You accept it. But the way we do that, I mean, it doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be any kind of mechanical thing. It is just through letting the things that God has already given us, the gifts that God has already given us, being who we are, not somebody else, just living life to the glory of God, that is how we become ambassadors. We just get into relationships and let our light shine. We go to a workplace and we let our light shine. And then we are becoming those ambassadors that God wants us to be. And then when we come here, it's to go back out and get encouraged to be ambassadors. And then more people come, and they come and share in the same thing. There's nothing spectacular about that. But we don't cut our... It's not all about meeting here. Because a light... You know, we all know, if you go and light... Put a lighter in the middle of a stadium that has the floodlights on, it will do nothing. You won't even notice it. On the other hand, if you went in that same stadium and it was dark and you put a lighter on, you could see that for a great distance. That light really shines. Well, in the middle of church, we all bring our lights here. It's all light here. If this is the only place we let our light shine, everybody else has the same thing. We're all already bringing that. Or if all we do is just go around Christian, you know, things, but we don't go out in the middle and just talk to people that don't know God and not treat them like they're anything different, but just walk around just like Jesus did, just be people, that's when we really let our light shine. That's when it can be seen. As little as our light may be, as inconsequential as we think we may be, when we're walking around in the middle of the darkness, it becomes big. That's what we want to do. Thank God, and we all have the ability to do that.